speaking some of the chaver of where is everybody holding, I think we're going to skip it. Because if you're not really into it, it's going to be very hard to benefit from. But if anybody wants my notes on a topic or to talk about it, we can. And instead, we'll start today with Sif Yud Zayin, which is Vasis Hafitzos. Again, I don't think anyone should skip this if everyone should do it, but in Shir we'll skip it. Okay, so the Gemara Nida.
You should have skipped Fitzos.
Ha ha. Yud Aleph Amud Aleph says like this: Rav Huna, Kafta Virasa, Kafta Virasa, Kafta Virasa, Kavala Vasas. Lamai, Ilem El Yamim, Hakol Yamid Lo Kafet Lo Chazai, Elalik Fitzos. Vatanya, kol shetik be'ena machmas ones, afilu kama pa'amim lo kava v'ases. Meaning, to v'ases machmas ones, seemingly that sounds like it's saying where you force the v'ases to come, like fitzos. It's not a v'ases. My love, lo kava v'ases klal. Lo kava v'ases liyamin l'chudayu, l'kvitzos l'chudayu. So the simple meaning of this Gemara is that there's no vasas hakfitzos on its own, but there is a vasas hakfitzos of morkav. Morkav meaning to say yamim ulukfitzos together. So seemingly, if she every time she jumps, she sees dam, but there's no pattern in terms of timing, then there's no vasas. But if there's a pattern in terms of timing, every time she's kofetas on the third of the month, she sees dam. So then she would have a vasas on morkav, and presumably the halacha would be she only is asura if she happens to jump on the third day of the month. And that's a simple reading of the Gemara. And the Rashba, who adopts this view, explains why is this different from what we usually call a vasas haguf. Vasas haguf, like pihukim, or sneezing spells, and belching spells, and the like. We'll talk more about those a little later on. But those are a kfias vases. What is the difference? Isn't that also a vases machmas ones? That's the question of the Rashba. We'll see, actually. Happens to be the Rambam himself doesn't hold that there's kfias vases for vases aguf on its own either. He holds also for vases aguf, it's only if it's morkav with zman. But the Rashba assumes no, like the simple reading of the sugya in Vesas Aguf, that for Vesas Aguf, there is a kfios Vesas for independent of Zman. And if so, what's the difference between that and this? So the Rashba answers, the difference is very simple. Umihu, dafka Vesas haba machbas onsin kegon kofetzas firasa vinami achla pilpalin Oshum ukiyote b'zevi rasa sheha'ones gorem levesa shiyavo aval veses hanikba be'onsin habayim machmas haveses harehu nikba bahen kigon shiregila lefaykul atesh. In other words, it's a difference between a symptom versus forcing the veses. Veses haguf are symptoms. In other words, she's menstruating due to her regular menstrual cycle. And a symptom of that oncoming menstruation is the sneezing, the belching, whatever it is. We'll talk in detail about what constitutes a vasas aguf. But those are symptoms. Whereas here, even though they're both called ones in a certain way, but that is a symptom. Whereas here, the opposite is the case. You are forcing the vasas to come by the strenuous exercise or the like. And that is not a vasas. Why not? We'll see. But that's the way the Rashba reads the Gemara. That's his conclusion. Again, he summarizes at the end of that piece. I was reading from the Chidushei HaRashba Nat Gemara. V'taima she'en elu garmin l'vasas she'yavo el adiraba ha'vasas gorem l'mikrim elu she'yavo. Right? The question is, what's the cause? Is the cause the vasas or the cause the kvitza? That's the position of the Rashba and the simple reading of the Gemara over there. However, a number of Rishonim disagree. The Balamor, the simple reading of Rashi, Ramban, all hold that it is shayach to have a vesis for kfitzus alone. The Brisa happens to be talking about Morkov, and when it's Morkov, the chiddush of that Gemara is lo chayshinam liyamim o lekfitzus l'chadayhu, only when you happen to have both, and that's the psak of the tour. But if you have a vesis akfitzus alone, that is koveh vesis. One possible motivation is, why should it be different than guf? Also, why should it be different than shum? Which we'll see is a question that the other opinions will have to address shortly. So that is the view of Balamor, simple reading of Rashi, the Ramban. But probably most Rishonim, among them we mentioned the Rashba as well as Tosfos, the Ritva, the Ravid, Rabbeinu Hanano, and this is the Psak of the Mechaber, all hold that Kfitzos L'chudayu is not a Vesis. Now the Ramah, though, seems to accept this, but he adds, you should be Choshesh for Kfitzos L'chudayu as a Vesis She'eno Kavua, which would mean, practically, that it's a Surah to have Tashmish Ba'onas HaKfitza. And if there's a time afterwards, if, you know, she sees an hour after Kfitzo, so then she would be Asura, you know, for that hour or so. But Av Rav Lo Badka, then she would be Mutas, because we're treating it like a Vesa She'eno Kavua. And likewise, since it's a Vesa She'eno Kavua, it would be Nekar Pamachas, even if it happened 10 times in a row. Now, then at that point, the Shach makes that point. Even if it happened 3 times, you still only treat it as a Vesh Sheinu Kavua. That's in the Shach Memches. Now, this is a very big Chiddush, because on many levels. First of all, that it's Shayach a Vesh Sheinu Kavua, and something that cannot become a Vesh Kavua, is a Chiddush. As we've seen, there's a number of indications that Vesh Sheinu Kavua is because it might become a Vesh Kavua. So, obviously, the Rama is not seeing it this way, because he's saying it can't become a Vesish Kavua, but it's still, you should be Choshesh like a Vesish Eino Kavua. Moreover, Mechatesi. In other words, if the Pshat and the Gemara is like Taisvis, Mechatesi to treat it as a Vesish Eino Kavua. If the Pshat and the Gemara is like the Balmor, so you have to treat it as a Vesish Kavua. Right? How does he read the Gemara? Where does he get it from? But that's the opinion of the Rama. Now the Shach, Sifkat Memches, writes, if Kafetza b'Rosh Chodesh, once. In other words, once she's Kofetza, it happens to be in Rosh Chodesh. So what's the halacha going forward? In other words, do you have to be a Asura on Rosh Chodesh, like a regular Vesas? Or do we assume, do we attribute this Re'iyah to the Kfitza, in which case next Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to be Asura, unless you happen to be Kofetza. Right? Again, a woman jumps, she does a lot of exercises, and then she sees dam on Rosh Chodesh. Next month, she doesn't work out in that same way. Does she have to be Choshesh? Shach says no. Now obviously, when I say do exercise, I'm talking about, you know, if she does exercise every day and she doesn't see dam, there's nothing to talk about, right? But in a way, that's similar to what we're describing over here. Kafta presumably doesn't just mean, you know, she jumped once, something very strenuous. So that's the Shach. So the Shach's a big kula. And you could ask me, Echatesi Lahakel. In other words, how do I know to attribute the Riyah to the Kvitza? Maybe the Riyah was just because it's Rosh Chodesh. I happened to jump today, but how do we know to, in a sense, definitively attribute the Riyah to the Kvitza, such that now I could be Mekel and not observe the Veses the next Rosh Chodesh if I happen not to be Kofetzes. So the Shach doesn't write a Makor for this, he doesn't give a Raya for it, but I think what he's assuming is like this. Let's take the case of standard Veses and Morkov of Kfitzos, right? So Kafta Verasa Rosh Chodesh 3 times in a row, so then she has a Ves Kavua. Now, we don't say, well, maybe it's just a Veses of Rosh Chodesh, right? Because there were no counterexamples. There wasn't a time where it was Rosh Chodesh and Lo Kafts and Lo Rasa. She jumped, let's say, only 3 times in the last 4 months. She jumped 3 times. It happened to be all 3 times around Rosh Chodesh, and it happened to be all 3 times she saw Dam. So you might have said, look, there's two equal possibilities, right? Either this is a Vesas Kavua Rosh Chodesh, or it's a Vesas Hamorkov. Or, you know, if you hold the Balmora, there's a third possibility. It could also be a Vesas Kavua of Kritas, but let's assume now, within the opinion of the Rashba and Tosfos. So it could be either of two possibilities, right? But what's the halacha? The halacha is, we say, it's a Vesas Hamorkov, right? In other words, and we assume that since she was kafta, which we know is, I guess, something that could cause riyastam, and it happened three times, we'll assume that the source was the kfitza. That everybody seems to agree to. So the shach is saying, if that's true for vesas kavua, then it should also be true after one time. Or just like after three times, even though you could have attributed it to Rosh Chodesh, we attribute it to the kfitza plus Rosh Chodesh, so to after one time, even though it could have been Rosh Chodesh, will attribute it to the kfitz of Rosh Chodesh. Now, there's a whole chiddush of the sugya that's Machadesh Vesamorkov presumes that we will attribute or associate the Ri'ya to the kfitz of Rosh Chodesh and not assume it's just Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, from that the Shach says, so if it's true for Kavua, it should also be true for Eino Kavua.
Do we know why that we only associate with the kfitza?
Because that's what, presumably, that's what makes more sense. In other words, you know. So you could say it's al tzafek d'rabbanan. Not clear. You know, you're being mukin this sugya like the mandam revesto slav d'raisa. And what about if you assume precious d'raisa? Right? So I wouldn't make the ukimta that you're making. Maybe the gemara is true even according to mandam revesto d'raisa. The answer is it's the more reasonable conclusion. The more reasonable conclusion is to associate it with the kfitzos, than not to associate it with the kfitzos. Yeah, you would, I think.
So we have Prisha Midoraisa for... No, we're saying it's not Veskavua.
If it's happened three times, it would be a Veskavua.
Murkav is also Kavua. It's not.
Sure.
The kulas of kfitz also. It's only kfitz alone that would not be...
If you have a Veskavua Kavua of Murkav, so you don't have to be Choshesh if it's not Rosh Chodesh. In other words, if you're Kofetzes some other time, and you don't have to be Choshesh on Rosh Chodesh if you're not Kofetzes. Right? Okay. Good. Now, what about the following, Shaila? Kafta Be'echad B'Shabes V'Ras Adam. And after 20 days, Kafta Be'echad B'Shabes V'Ras Adam. And after 19 days, she is Kafta B'Shabes. Maybe she shouldn't jump on Shabbos. But anyway, she did it. Yeah, she was jumping to shul, I guess. And she didn't see dam. And then, on Sunday, she saw dam. So what's the halacha? So this is a machlokas in the Gemara. And it's also a machlokas, how we shown him, how we paskin. According to the Ravid, the Rosh, the Rashba, and the Tur, we don't say, Hovera davar lemafreya. Sorry. We say that... we don't say Hovra Davar L'Mafreya that it's the Yom, right? In other words, clearly Sunday was Gorim the Kfitza, sorry, Gorim the Re'iyah, because after all, she sees three Sundays in a row, even though on the third Sunday she didn't jump, she only jumped on Shabbos. So we don't say that. Rather, we assume that the Re'iyah that she had on Shabbos is what was Gorim, the Kfitza she had on Shabbos, what was Gorim the Re'iyah she has on Sunday. In other words, this is taking what we said before a step further. Not only will we associate the Re'iyah to the Kfitza in a Morkov way when it's straightforward, but even when it's not so straightforward, right, in this case where we'll have to push it off a day, still we'll assume, we'll say, yeah, sometimes actually Kfitzos don't cause the Re'iyah to come immediately. And therefore, she basically will have, again, Vesas Kavua for every third Sunday, if she's Kofetzes, right? And therefore, the next 3 weeks from that Sunday, if she's not Kofetzes, she won't have to be Choshashis. That's the view of, as I said, the Ravid, Rosh, Rash, Matur. However, the Rambam holds that, no, in that case, clearly, it's not the Kfitza that's the Gorim. And she'll have a regular Vesas Kavua every third Sunday, or a flag of 22 days, whatever you want to call it. Right? That's the opinion of the Rambam. So the Mechaber and the Rambam both paskin like the Rambam. And that is why the Shach, Sifkat Memtes, is very surprised. Why doesn't he quote the opinion of the Ravid, the Rash, the Rashba, and the Torah? Why is the Mechaber paskening like the Rambam? And he says, especially because the Ramban also holds like that first tzad. The Ramban also holds like the Ravid, Rash, Rashba, and Torah. Now, it's very interesting that the Shach says that, because the Ramban actually says, this is what I would hold, but I'm mevatel daiti to the Rambam. In other words, he doesn't conclude that way. It sounds like when you read the halachos of the Ramban, that if you ask the Ramban what to do l'maisa, he would have told you, follow the Ramban. So, I think perhaps what you see from the Shach is that, and again, it's hard to say, like, fixed rules about this. Sometimes you have to look at the nuances of the language. But when we're trying to figure out psak halacha and we're looking at the different shitos, we actually look at what they would say, not what they do say. Lemashal, we had this earlier with the opinion of the Ksav Sofer for bandages and casts. Right? If you remember, Ksav Sofer wrote this whole tshuva saying why he thinks you could be mekel if it's type of bandage that's never removed. And when the Mishnah said that the bandages are a chatzitza, talking about bandages that you check on every so often. But if you're not going to remove it for a definitive period of time, so then it wouldn't be a chatzitza. And after writing Holchuv in favor of this, he says, but look, you know, when I saw these gedolim that disagree with me, I'm a vatel daiti, and you can't do it. Right? And then if you noticed, a lot of the achronim later, when they, you know, say, quote the Ksav Sofer as being Mekel, which is surprising, because when you read the Tshuva, his conclusion seems to be Lahachmir. So, you know, I don't know if the Pshat is, you know, he was being an Anav, but we don't have to be an Anav on his behalf. In other words, from the thrust of the Tshuva, it seems like he was pretty convinced of his arguments, and if he's being Machmir, Machmas Kvodam Shel Hagdolam, but we don't have to accept that. You'll see that in other places. There's a place where the Ritva writes, Lule de Mistafina, I would argue with the Ramban. So it's known as the Ritva Shita as the other way. I don't remember who says what. But right. But I remember, Lule de Mistafina. So if I wasn't afraid, I would say this. But I am afraid, so I didn't say that. Right? But the answer is, no, again, whether that means that they were just saying it machmas kavod and they didn't really think that, or even if they did paskin that way, but we say it. So I think that's what you see from the Shach. Now the Ramban, the Torah of Shlomim over here, says no. What's the pshat in Mechaber? Why did the Mechaber not say like the Shach? Because l'maisa, the Ramban, was mevatel daito to the Rambam. So since the Ramban accepted the Rambam shita, it's not just the Rambam saying this, it's the Rambam plus Ramban. So Mimela, it makes sense that the Mechaber will paskin like the Rambam plus Ramban. So it's an interesting dispute here, how to look at a Rishon when they seem to prefer one view but are Mekabel the position of another view. You know, we don't know that when Ramban was very confident of his views, he was willing to argue with the Rambam. It's not like Ramban refused to argue with the Rambam. Anyway, at the end of the Shach, he says something, another reason to paskin like his view. It's like hard to understand exactly what he means, but I think what he means is as follows, and I think this is what the Dalai Mirvavat says he means, that we should follow the first set of Rishonim, like we said, the Ravid, Rash, Rash, Batur, because they're the Rov, and they're the Mekilim, and Vestus de Rabbanan. And even if you're going to tell me, no, we should follow the Rambam because he's Machmir, and there's an Inyan to be Machmir, still, since it's not purely a Chumra, because there's always a Kula as well, in terms of Akiras HaVeses, so therefore that rule doesn't apply. In other words, he's saying, I think you should be Mekel Vestus Drabban, you could follow the lenient view, but maybe, you know, you're of the school of thought that you should be Machmir, the Machmir school of thought, even though Safek Drabanan, you should still be Machmir. But that doesn't make sense over here, because Vestos are Kula and a Chumra. And even though primarily we see Vestos as a Chumra, we've seen that before, but since in the end of the day there is both a Kula and a Chumra, so if your Netiyah and Psak is just to follow the Machmir view, that's not a a koveya in the world of Vestos, where it, in the end of the day, is a kulan chumra, so you have to go with your gut, and since the dominant view is here, is lahakel, then you should be mekum. Okay. Now, there seems to be, though, a stira between Sif Yud Zayin, what we just read, and Sif Chaf, and the Taz and the Shach both point this out. Taz is Lamed Bey, Shach is Chaf Tes. Why? What do we say in Sif Chaf? So, Sif Chaf, what?
It's not Sifchat Nuntes.
Maybe it's Nuntes and I got it right or wrong. Could be.
I think in the Nekuda Sekesef, he points you to what he says there, which I thought was Nuntes.
Okay. Double check. So what's the stira? Because it says like this over there. There we're talking about the Vesas of Piyok, the Vesas Agof. In Piyok Abeis Pamim Berosh Chodesh, Uve Pam Shlish is Piyok Abachav Tes Lachodesh, Velo Rasa, Uve Rosh Chodesh Rasa Belo Piyok, Kavala Vesas La Piyok Shal Rosh Chodesh, She Piyok Shal Esmol, Garam La Re'iyah Shal Rosh Chodesh. Isn't Garam, doesn't really mean Garam literally, like we said before, because Piyokim aren't the Goreim, they're the symptom, right? They're not Ones. But, nevertheless, what does he say over there? So, twice she sneezes on Rosh Chodesh, she sees Dam. Then once on the 29th, Erev Rosh Chodesh, she sneezes, doesn't see Dam. And then on the 1st, she sees Dam. So there we say, really, it's a Vesas HaMorkov for Piyukim B'Rosh Chodesh. That's the Pesach of Mechaber. So the question is, basically, if it's not a Stira, then why is it that by Piyukim, he paskins like the Ravid Rashban Tur, what we're calling the first school of thought, and by Kfitzos, he paskins like the Rambam, the second school of thought. That's the Kasha. So the answer has to be that there's a chiluk between Kfitzos, which are, as we said, an Ones, and the Mechaber holds that since it's not Shaykh of Vesis of Kfitzos Lechud, so that's different. Piyuk is a symptom, and therefore it makes more sense to say that the piyuk of yesterday is a symptom of today's re'iyah than to say that the kfitza of yesterday was goreim today's re'iyah. In other words, basically, don't ask me a kasha, it's not a stira. They're two different things. One is a symptom, one is a cause, one is an ones, one is a symptom. Not a Shaila. Now, you could say that, but the problem is it doesn't really work in terms of the sources, because there's no makor for this idea of piyok shel esmol, goreim l'ri'iyah shel rosh chodesh. What's the makor? The makor is the sugya of kfitzos, and the rishonim that say that by kfitzos, that the kfitza shel esmol, goreim l'ri'iyah shel hayom. And since you don't accept that position, right? We accept the Rambam's position for Kfitzos, so there seems to be no basis to accept that view by Piyukim. In other words, the halacha by Piyukim, who says it? The Ravid, the Rash, the Rashba. But they said it by Kfitzos. There's no, once you're going to reject it by Kfitzos, then there's no source to say it by Piyukim. So, I think the simple answer in terms of what the Mechaber was doing here. We talked more about this last year, but this relates to the general Derech HaPsak of the Mechaber, which is that we look at Shitos and we paskin based off of Shitos, and not to worry so much whether it's Eis Gehalt in Cheshbon in terms of the Sugya to make such a Chiluk. In other words, in Sif Yud Zayin, the Rambam paskins against the Ravid Rashba, Rush. So he paskins like the Rambam, Kedarko, to accept the Rambam. Lagabe Piyuk, did the Rambam say anything? No, he said nothing. So since the Ravid, the Rush, the Rashba all say that this is a Vestas HaMorkov, so we're going to paskin like them. We the Derech of the Mechaber is to paskin like the Rambam, there's paskin like the Rambam against Ravid Rash Rashba, because that's his derech, but when the Ravid and the Rashba say some things, and the Rambam doesn't disagree, so you're going to accept that. So since the Rambam doesn't disagree about piyukim, we'll accept it. Now, does it make sense? No, but that's the derech of the psak. And I think it sounds that way from the Gra. If you look at the Gra, at Sifkat and Chavav, he writes that the Mechaber is so same like the first school of thought in Sifchaf. Right? He's so same. In other words, what's the pshat in Sifchaf? What's the source? The Rashba, the Ravid, right? In other words, he said the other way that in Sif Yud Zayin. Nunu. And we talked about this last time, that's the Gra thinks that's the derech of the Mechaber in Psak. That, you know, we follow rules, and it doesn't always come out that it correlates to a consistent opinion. We mentioned last year the Gra in Hilchos Pesach that seems to say such a mahalach. So, now, again, it's not a fundamental stira, because there could be a chiluk. They are, after all, two different types of vestos. But in terms of operationally, how was the Mechaber working? That's how he was working. Yeah.
If it was a fundamental stira, would the Gra's verse still apply? Or?
Okay, maybe, but not necessarily. But we don't have to say that to explain this. But that's why the Beit Yosef doesn't feel the need to like say, "Oh, I have a big chiddush that legabe this din there's a chiluk between piyukin and kfitzos and the like." No, it doesn't. It's not eis gehalten in cheshbon at all. You could make a chiluk, but the Beit Yosef doesn't feel any need to do that because his psak is based off of the Beit Yosef. Now, this isn't always true, but it's probably true 99% of the time. He has rules for Hora, and he paskins following those rules. Okay. Now, the Chavos Das points out over here, it's quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva Sifkat and Yates, that here we follow shows. And you don't have to be choshesh for more than the time. So, let's say, still not used to this new Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Right, so he says, "In yesh l'sha kavua achar hakfitza kigon shebisha shlishi achar hakfitza hiroa, eino choshesh rak laoshesha daasya kviusa desha v'akra lalavesa sheino kavua. V'chein im hakfitzus hayu b'shaos mechuvanim kigon b'sha vav mi'ayom ein tzricha lachosh rak l'shahi." Right, so you have this vestas amorkov of, let's say, kvitzos and time, but you still only have to be choshashas for that time. And not just that, but, you know, if her vestas amorkov is every time she jumps 3 hours later, she sees dam, so she's not a surah till 3 hours. This is the Chavos Das, I think, perhaps Lashitaso, well, if you remember, by, he feels like the Ravid, by, Tvila, the Vestas of Tvila and the Mikvah. That's a Vest, it's like a Vestas of Kfitzos, that's only for Oso Shah. In other words, it's only by regular Vestas of time that there's the Machlokas between Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Yossi, and we accept the view that she's a Surah Oso Ona. But other than that, sure, and that's because we assume it's not the hour that's the trigger, but it's the day that's the trigger, the Ona that's the trigger. Mashen came over here. There's no reason to assume that everybody agrees that we follow time. Okay. So now we turn to Sif Chav Gimel, and that is Veses Hashum. So the Gemara in Samach Gimel Midveis, that was on Daf Yad Aleph. Now we have to do Samach Gimel, and the Avodah Nesugya is to figure out how those two Gemaras relate to each other. So the Gemara in Samach Gimel says, Lema Shalomanu Chachamim Lasuyimai, right? The Gemara gave a list of all sorts of Vestos of physiological activities, and the Gemara says also things that are not included in this list. So what is that coming to include? We assume it's coming to include something. So Amar Yosef Lasuye Rosh Kaved Aleha Vivarea Kvedin Aleha the rosas the ghost. Amalei Abaye, my kamashal and masnisin he, deha parsha rabba barula. Elam Abaye lasuye what? And as that's true, Rosh Kvedin Allah certainly is a Vesagoth, but we don't need that. That's also a Mishnah. Something else. Lasuye, Achla Shum Virasa, Achla Bitzalim Virasa, Kisses a Pilpil in Virasa. So, spicy food, sharp food, also could be Koveya Veses. Now, the simple reading of this Gemara is that this is an example of a Kfiyas Veses Machmas Ones. In other words, it's very similar to Kfitzos, right? Just like Kfitzos, I do a strenuous activity, and that somehow or another triggers the Riya. So to over here, if you have super duper sharp foods, so that's also Goreim E-Riya. Now, obviously, that works very nicely for the Rishonim that we mentioned in the previous if that hold that there's such a thing as a Veses HaKvitzos, that isn't Morkov, right? But for the majority opinion, the Psak of the Mechaber, who rejects Veses HaKvitzos alone, only holds that there's Kvitzos, Veses HaKvitzos that's Morkov with Zman, so if you reject Kvitzos, why would you accept Shum? What's the difference? So that's the question. So, there's two schools of thought over here. One school of thought is to say there is no difference. And the Rashba and the Baal Amor are both of this view, though they have opposite conclusions in light of their Shita by Kvitzos. The Baal Amor says that they're identical, and therefore they're both Koveya Veses. And you in fact see from this Gemara of Achla Shum that there is such a thing as a Veses Ones. And this is one of the motivations to not read that Gemara in Yud Aleph Kipshuta, even though, as we noted when we read the Gemara before, the simple reading of the Gemara is that it's telling you that there is no such thing as a Veses Ones L'chudayu. It's only Morkov with Zman. But look, since this Gemara by Pilpilin tells me that there is a Veses Ones, so, and there's no reason to distinguish between Pilpilin and Kvitzos, so Mimela, both of them are Koveya Veses. That's the view of the Baal Amor. And the Rashba takes the opposite approach. He says they're both equal. Again, there's no chilak between them. So it must be that they're both not Koveya Veses. And when this Gemara is talking about Achla Shum, Achla Pilpilin, it must be Morkov. Because the Gemara, after all, concluded by Kvitzos that it's not Koveya Veses L'chudayu. It's only Morkov with Sman. There's no such thing as a causative Veses. It must be time-related or symptomatic. So we'll say that this Gemara is talking about Morkov. Okay. So those are the simple approaches. Tosfos, however, bites the bullet. He says, we'll accept the simple reading of the Gemara by Kvitzos, that there's no such thing as a Veses HaKvitzos alone. And we'll accept the simple reading of the Gemara by Pilpilin, that there is such a thing as Pilpilin alone. And we'll have to distinguish between the two. There's a difference between Kvitzos and Pilpilin. So what's the difference? This is what Tosfos says. See if we understand what this means. He writes, Ava achla shum. I'll just read you the question so you see it. It's Tos Samachim on the base. Vim Tomar. Amailok Amar Nami Kafsirat Sadavu Nami Alide Maizvi. Shlomar Deina Kovas Vesis Lakvitis Lahudayu Kadamar Parakama. The Koshitik Benamach Mas Ones Afilu Kama Pamim Lokava. Ava achla shum. Lochashiv Ones Kimotoreach Shalkvitsa. Shein Hariya Ba. Ela Alide Torech. Sorry. Shein Hariya Ba Alide Torech. Ela Mimela. So what's he saying? There's a difference. Kvitzos is the Re'iyah's Baal Yidei Torah, as opposed to Shum, where the Re'iyah is Ba Memela. What does he mean? I assume what he means is that in one case you're manipulating the natural process, and in one case you're disrupting the natural process. Kvitzos, you're disrupting the natural process. You're forcing bleeding. It's like saying, you know, if I cut you, you bleed. That's not a Veses, right? So it's true. You know, it's hard to deny the association between the Kvitzos and the Re'iyah. After all, every time you're Kofetzes, you're Roa. But we can't call that a Veses. Because vestos relate to the natural process. It's almost, I don't know if you'd want to, Tosis doesn't use this language, but, hormonally induced bleeding. And this kvitzas isn't hormonally induced bleeding. So she becomes a nida. It is dam nida after all, but it's not a vessus. Mashenke. When it comes to shum, so the shum manipulates a natural process, right, to cause her to bleed. But again, if we're putting it in modern language, I don't know if this works scientifically. Speaking of which, we have, I think in a week or so, I'll tell you the details. Rabbi Dr. Reback is coming to speak to us, as well as other Chevra Learning Nida, about issues. So we could talk to him about this. I don't know. But anyway, I think we're going to, I'll talk more about Maka issues, which are more relevant. But the point is that this is manipulating the natural process, but it's still natural menstruation. It happens to be, again, if we use the term hormone, so the spicy foods triggers the hormones that causes the re'iyah. It's not like punching you and you're bleeding, right? That's the way Tosa says it, right? In one case, he says, shum is koveh vesas. Why? Shehar re'iyah ba'a memela. Memela meaning what? Now, obviously, it doesn't come unless you eat the spices. But the spices cause the re'iyah to come memela, so you're manipulating the natural process, as opposed to kfitzos l'chudayu, it's not koveh vesas. Why? Shari'iyah ba'i de torah. In other words, the tircha, the strenuous activity, causes the menstruation, but it's not the natural process. I think that's something along the lines of what Tosfos means. So at the end of the day, that's the Shara of Tosfos. There is a vasus of shum, l'chudayu, even not morkav, but not kfitzos l'chudayu. Kfitzos l'chudayu is only morkav, because for vesas, kfitzos vesas requires some type of natural process. There is, technically speaking, actually a fourth shita. Again, what do we have so far? Number one is Balamor, both are kovei vesas. Number two is Rashba, neither are kovei vesas l'chudayu. Tosfos is machalik. The tour does not mention the din of shum at all, but as we said before, he did pask in halacha that kfitzos l'chudayu is kovei vesas. Space Yosef says, al karchicha, the Torah says, the opposite of Tosfos. It's shayach vesas kfitzos, and not shayach vesas of shum. Now, the Beis Yosef doesn't say a reason for it. Maybe it's the svara of Tosfos, but for the opposite reason. In other words, if it's a goreim, that could be a vesas. But here it's memela, so it's not a vesas. So it's hard to know what would have motivated the tour to learn this way in terms of the sources. But in terms of the svara, you could give a svara. You could say again what Tosfos says, just in the opposite direction. Al kopanim, according to the Beis Yosef, Bidas Hatur, it would turn out l'chora that there's not even a morkav with shum. That I'm not sure. How would you read the Gemara? So that's the first aspect of this sugya, right? Is there such a thing as a vesa shem alone, or only morkav? The next aspect that the Rishonim discuss is, it depends on how you read the Gemara, but is there a tziruf between different dvarim harifin? In other words, the Gemara said, achla shum virasa, achla betzalim virasa, kisses a pilpul in virasa. So does that mean first month she sees shum, she ate shum, the second time she ate betzalim, and then the third time it was a pilpulin, and she has a vases for dvarim harifim, any type, and maybe in the fourth month, if she eats ginger also, doesn't really matter, anytime you eat, or no, the pshat is, or even if just these three things, but any of these things, no, it means achla shum virasa three times, achla pilpulin virasa three times, but there's no tziruf in terms of different dvarim harifim. Now we know that for vesas haguf, it's clear that there's no tziruf. In other words, if one time she has piyaka, she has a sneezing spell, and then she has a riyah, the next time itcha, and she has a Riya. And then the third time, Rosh HaKveda Allah, and she has a Riya. There's no Sira. That's three separate things that we assume have nothing to do with each other. So for Vesas HaGuf, there's definitely no Sira between multiple types of symptoms. The question is, what about for these types of pilpulin? So, so the Beis Yosef assumes that there is a tziruf. The Beis Yosef is medayik from the Rosh and the Mordechai that there's a tziruf. And the Gras, if Katan Lamedala, disagrees with the Beis Yosef. He says there's no raya from the Rosh. The Rosh was just bringing the Rosh under the Gemara. And the Gemara itself is could go both ways. So, what's the halacha? So, the Mechaber does not bring the din of Esses Hashem at all in the Shulchan Aruch. It's hard to know what he holds. It's hard to believe that he's paskening like the Tur against all the other Rishonim, right? But at the same time, he doesn't bring it at all. So, perhaps, he holds that it's the same as Kvitzus, and therefore, and just like the Rambam left out Shum, he leaves out Shum, because it's the same as the Kvitzus, right? The Beis Yosef wrote that the Rambam left out Shum, because he held it's the same thing as Kvitzus. It's Bechlal Kvitzus, so... Who had in the Mechaber? Mechaber already told you his view by Kvitzos. So that's the same view by Shum, in which case the Mechaber is posketing that Mork of yes, standalone no, like the Rashba. That's probably the simplest way to read the Mechaber. Now, the view of the Ramah is tricky over here, because it's hard to read, because he's talking about two different topics, and he brings three views in two different topics, the way the Ramah writes. But this is the way the Ramah writes it is Haga Achla Shem Virasa, Achla Batzal Virasa, Achla Pilpulin Virasa, Yeshomim Shekavala Veses, Liros, Alide Achilas Dvarim Chamim. Yeshomim Shekoma Sheras Shetira Aide machal dino kemo shetir aide kfitza v'shar ma'isa she osa mikre re'ia aide ones ve'eno kovas v'ases ela im hayamim v'yesh omrim shedino kovasa shetir aide mikre shebegufa v'kovasa osa afilu b'lo yamim shavim. Right, so we have three yesh omrims on two different questions. So it's hard to read. The way the Gra reads, I think this is the easiest way to read the Ramah. There's two different questions, with two shitos really on each question. First, the Ramah writes, "Achla shum virasa, achla batzal virasa, achla pilpul virasa." So, yesh omrim shekavel avesis. Now, right now, he's not talking about the question of whether they're mitzarif or not. He's talking about the general question of whether or not this is a vesis alone. In other words, do you hold like Tosfos that it is a vesis, or do you hold like the Rashba that it's not a vesis, only through Morkov? So you quote the Yeshomim of Tosfos. Good. And now, that's part A. So he seems to be accepting the Yeshomim, right, presumably disagreeing with the Mechaber, because as we said, Pashtus, the Mechaber, holds that, like the Rashba, it's not Kovei HaVeses alone, only Morkov. And the Ramah is saying, Yeshomim, that it is Kovei HaVeses. And then he goes ahead, and he now is Mechalik. Okay, well, how? So he says, Yeshomim, that any time... Sorry, I said it backwards. Because first he really says the din of tziruf. That's why it's so confusing, right? Achla shem virasa, achla batzel virasa, achla pilpulin virasa, yesh omrim shekavel avesis liros aydid varam chamim, meaning there's tziruf. So first he's telling you that this yesh omrim, that there's tziruf for different minim, right? Which is the Beis Yosef's understanding of the Rosh Hashita, right? So first he says that when it comes to the vesis al yedei Harifim, Yesh Omrim, there's a tziruf between different minim, and he accepts that. And now the only question is, what type of vesas is it? Koveya? Vesas of even Harifim Lachud, or only Morkov? So you're right. Yesh omrim shekoma shetir al yidei machal dino kamo shetir al yidei kfitza v'shar ma'isa shuose. That's the view of the Rashba, in which case it's only going to be shayach v'eses kavua morkav. And in v'yesh omrim, like Tosfos, shedino kevesa shetir al yidei mikre mikre shebegufa v'kovas afilu below yamim shavim. Right, so that's the way to read the Rama. As first he quotes, it's sort of a little bit confusing because it's, you know, out of order. I would have, you know, presented it the other way. But first he presents the Yesh Omrim, which is the Rush, that there's Tziruf. Tziruf for what? Then he presents two options. Option one, he says, is Tos, is Rashba. Sorry, option one is Tosfos. And option two is, no, option one is, yeah, option one is Rashba, and option two is Tosfos. Good. That's the Rama. Good. Now let's go back to Sif Yud Tes and talk about Veses HaGof. I went out of order just because it makes sense to do Shum with Kfitzis. Okay. So Veses HaGof. So there's a Machlokas Rishonim, first of all, as we mentioned before, whether there is actually such a thing as a Veses HaGof HaPashat, meaning to say without Morkav. The Rambam in Perk Ches of Isurei Bia, Halacha Aleph and Beis, as well as Per Gimel of Mishkav U'Moshav, denies the concept of Veses HaGuf alone. As the Magid Mishnah over there points out, and the Beis Yosef quotes it as well, he only has a Morkav. Right? It's very interesting even how he defines Veses. He writes in Isurei Bia, Yesh Isha Sheyesh La Veses, V'yesh Isha She'en La Veses, El Lo Targish Ba'atzma, etc. And likewise, in Mishkav U'Moshav, he writes, Kol Isha Sheyesh Lo Veses, Targish Ba'atzma Mefakes. Right? A Veses is time with a warning. But anyway, we obviously don't accept that view. We accept the view of the Rashba, and most Rishonim, who hold that there is such a thing as a Veses HaGuf. We saw before the Rashba understands that as a symptomatic Veses. So the Shulchan Aruch gives a bunch of examples, stretching and yawning and burping, and the Shach adds sneezing. And we paskin b'chol echad me'elu im yera la shalosha pa'amim v'rasa kavala veses shebuchol pa'am shi choshashes mehem asur l'shamesh. And in Sif Aleph, Chaf Aleph, he adds, it's like a veses kavua, regular veses kavua of time, that it's asura ad shetivdok, right? Just like we said, Veses Kavua, she's asura until she does a bdika, so too here. And not only that, but in he seems to go even further. It's even more machmer than a Veses of time related, because in Sifchaf Aleph, he writes, your choshesh after one time, and it sounds like he's saying, not only that, but after one time you need to do bdika. He also sounds that way in Sifchaf Vav. In other words, Veses HaGuf is more chamor than other vestos, she'enan kavuos. Remember, other vestos, she'enan kavuos, if it passes and you didn't do a bedika, you're mutter. And the pashtus is that you don't even have to do a bedika l'chatchila. But certainly, if it passes without a bedika, you're mutares. But it sounds like from the mechaber that he's saying, no, that here, if it's enu kavua, even once you're a sura without doing a bedika. Now the Bach tries to say, no, he means bedika l'chatchila. Lashon of the Tur and the Mechaber don't sound that way, and that's why the Taz is docha, the opinion of the Bach. But the big question is, why? Why in the world would that be? Right? Why would you say that for Ves Sheinu Kavua that's time-related, you don't have to do a bedika, your mutaris once the Ves passes without a bedika, but when we're talking about Ves HaGuf, it's not true. You do need to do a bedika to be mutaras, even after one time. So the Taz writes, Venera, dekan bepiyogaret fei, Kevan shederach hatevahu beisha lefahik b'shas riyasa osamochlo have reyasa lefaneinu shitameya v'alkein chamir tvei mishar vesa sheinu kavua. Not clear what he means exactly. Derech hateva, it's normal. It's more normal. Maybe what he means is there's a Rashba in Mishmer Sabayas who writes, I think that Shevet Alevi might point this out, that piyuk is more chamor because kevan de ha-piyuk moresh ha-rechem nismale midam ha-veses. Okay. So, again, you could ask the doctors about this. But apparently, it's based off of, the Rashba says, a certain mitzius, that this sneezing spell is a symptom of there's being ready to menstruate, nismale harechem dam, and therefore it's a more powerful association, and therefore the mechaber, as understood by the Taz, understands that even after one time she's a suar chetivdok. One would wonder if that's the pshat in this mechaber, if that will apply to all vestos haguf, or maybe just the ones mentioned here. Just the ones mentioned here, they're a symptom of nismale krisa dam. But that's the Taz. The Nekudas HaKesev, though, disagrees with the Taz. And he writes, no, absolutely not. If she waits for the time to pass and she doesn't see anything, let's say, last time she sneezed, and a minute later she started seeing dam, or an hour later started seeing dam. So if that time has passed, whatever that time was, then you wouldn't need to do a bedika, just like every other vesesh eino kavua. But, and when does the mechaber say you need to do bedika? If it's samach. And the reason is because it's not like other vestos that are tluyos bizman, and it's shayach to be matir after the ona has passed, even without a bedika. In other words, other vestos, when we're talking about time-bound vestos, we have a natural period, right? The ona. So once the ona's passed, we say, okay, if it didn't come, you're fine. You're mutaris, even without a bedika. Whereas here, it's hard to know, to say sometimes, exactly when the time has passed, right? And therefore, when it's ambiguous, you would need to do a bedika to know that the vesis has passed and allow you to resume relations. But if it's clear that the vesis has passed, then she would be mutares even without a bedika. Let's say, the day has passed and nothing came. And maybe there's a little deal like the Shach against the Taz from the Beis Yosef in Sif Chavav. Again, the simple reading of Shulchan Aruch certainly sounds like the Taz. But over there, I don't want to go into the whole cheshbon of that Beis Yosef, but he writes, "V'lo namro shlosha pa'amim ela lomar." In other words, what's the significance of it happening three times? It's talking about vesagof. She'az eno nekar ad she'akar mimena shlosh pa'amim. V'chein l'inyan shasur l'shamish ad she'tivdok. In other words, what's the nafkaminas for three times if you already have vesesh eno kavu after once? The answer is that for three times, nafkamina A is you need to be oker three times, as opposed to eno kavua, you only have to be oker once. And number two is asur l'shamish ashtetivdok, that when it comes to ves kavua, she's asur l'shamish ashtetivdok, mashen kain, eno kavua. So it sounds like the shach. Fine. Now, the most important practical rule to know about vestos haguf, and this is why vestos haguf are relatively uncommon, is that it has to be unique. So that manifests itself in a number of ways. First of all, obviously, you sneeze a couple times, you sneeze three, four times, that is not going to be a ves haguf. So a woman sneezes a couple of times and then she menstruates. We're not going to say, oh, that's a ves haguf. Why? Because you sneeze all the time when you don't menstruate, right? Sneezing is a natural thing that happens to everybody all sorts of times. When they have a cold, when they have allergies, when they smell something, and all sorts of other factors, right? So we're talking here about a sneezing spell that's unusual, that's not normal. I don't know, she sneezes 20 times in a row. I don't think there's a shear. It's going to depend on what's normal for you. But the point is that this is a unique symptom, uniquely associated with menstruation. So we're talking about a real sneezing spell, something that's abnormal, not what happens when you get allergies or when you smell pepper. Fine. So like nobody's gonna say that, you know, a woman burps and later on that day she has a period that, oh, so now, you know, she has a veshenu kavua for vesis aguf for burping. And the next time she burps, she has to be poresh. I don't think we would say that. Now, here too, we have two options, right? Like we said, we don't paskin like the Rambam, so it could be morkav or pashut. Pashut meaning to say it's not associated with any time, so then any time she has this sneezing spell, she's going to be asura. Or morkav, meaning to say it's associated with a particular time. Now, Shach points out, Sif Katan Nun Vav, that if she sees once with a sneezing spell, let's say on the 15th of the month, so then she has to be Choshesh, both for the 15th of the month and for sneezing. Right? In other words, this is actually different than what we said before from the Shach for Kvitzos. But if she sees three times on the 15th of the month, then she's only Choshesh on the 15th of the month, and not just once. Now, shortly we'll see not everybody agrees with that. But before we get to those who disagree with the Shach, an internal problem within the Shach, which is what we just alluded to, which is that it's different than Kvitzos. Because again, the Shach in Mem Ches, by Kvitzos, writes that once with Kvitzos on the 15th, so you'll only have to be Choshesh if she jumps on the 15th, right? And the next month on the 15th, if she doesn't jump, she won't have to be Choshesh. But once with sneezing on the 15th of the month, the next month, next time she has to be Choshesh both for sneezing and for the 15th. So what's the difference? So the Machtas HaShekel explains that's because Ves HaGuf is a symptom, and therefore we're concerned that the symptom might happen each time. So you have to be, and you also have to be choshesh for the 15th, whereas kvitzos is the cause, so you don't have to be choshesh without the cause. In other words, when you see, now, you know, that's, which is sort of interesting that we say this, because on the one hand, guf is more powerful than kvitzos, right? But at the same time, we also see kvitzos as more definitive. So, Bekitzer, when you'd see kvitzos on the 15th of the month, we say, oh, kvitzos are very, very potent, and mistama, that was the cause. So if you don't have kvitzos, or you don't have the 15th of the month, you don't have choshesh. Symptoms, not true. Fine. So that's, now, the Taz disagrees. The Taz writes, this is Lamed Vav, that according to the Beis Yosef, I'll pee the Rashba, and also, this is what the Mechaber seems to say in Sif Chavav, that if you're Koveya Morkav three times, like Piyaka Tesvav Bechodesh three times, if you're Mefahekes on the 10th of the month, you're Choshesh for Piyuk like a Vesa Sheino Kavua. Right? In other words, again, the Pashtus as we'll say, you're not a Surah Chetiv Dok. Even though that wasn't the Taz's view, but it has a din of a vesa she'eno kavua on the 10th of the month. And the Taz thinks, though, that's the view of the Mechaber, and that's how the Mechaber learned the Rashba, but the Rama disagrees, right? That's what the Rama says in the end of Sif Yotes, Hagav, V'davka, Shekava Vesas L'Shneim B'Yachad, Avotchil Al-Choshes L'Chol Pam B'Fnei Atzmo, Ki'en Yodas Eze Me'en Tikba, right? So he holds, no, that once you're kovei, until you have Vesis Kavua, you have to be Choshesh for both. But once you're Kovas Vesis Kavua, you're only Choshesh for the Morkav, and you have no other Vestos, you don't have Choshesh for anything else. Now, the next question we have to deal with is, are you Asura Kol Hayom if you have a Morkav? Right. Let's say again, she is a Vesas Morkav for Tesvav Bachodesh. According to the Shach, Sifkat Nun Vav, she's only Asura for Tesvav Bachodesh Ad Shetafayik. Right? But not before that. Runa Choshesh that she will be Mefakas and then see. If she's going to see, she'll be Mefakas. And then you'll worry about it then. But the Pesach Tshuva points out in Sifkan Chav Dalet that the Chavos Das disagrees. And really the Mechaber, Sif Chav Hei, pretty clearly disagrees. It sounds like the Mechaber holds that when it's Morkav, you have to be Choshesh for the whole day, Shama Tefahik. The Beis Yosef was Medaik this from the Lashon of the Magid Mishnah. Because the Magid Mishnah writes, Shem Kava Vesas HaMorkav Shlosha Pa'amim Harei Zu Asura Kol Ha'ona Oyom Olayla. Sounds like Dafka she's kavato shlosha pamim. In other words, if it's a veses she'eno kavua for, then you only have to be choshesh for that time. But once it's morkav kavua, then you have to be choshesh for the whole time. That's what the Beis Yosef is medayik from the Magid Mishnah. Now, what's the reason? I suppose you have to say that the Beis Yosef is assuming that maybe the Goreim is really the Yom, to some degree, right? First of all, like we said, that your Koveya Vesis Kavua, Piyuk Gimel times on Rosh Chodesh, even though there's no, it might just be Rosh Chodesh. Though it's hard to say that's the Pshat here, because then maybe once you've proven that the Yom isn't the Goreim, like three Roshei Chadashim, she lo piyakav lo rasa. You shouldn't have to be choshesh for a kol yom. So maybe you have to be choshesh that it's going to come. Not so clear what the logic for this would be. But it's clear from the Beis Yosef that Veses Haguf, that's not Morkav, and this the Beis Yosef says in Sifchav Dalid, then you only have to be choshesh for the time. And moreover, if, let's say, she sneezes and then 3 hours later she menstruates, you don't have to be choshesh until then. In other words, you only have to be choshesh if it comes b'tchilas haveses, she's asur b'tchilas haveses, like we learned from Taurus. If it comes b'sof haveses, she's mutaris b'tchilas haveses, and only asura b'sof haveses. We'll get back to that in Sifchav Dalet. Now, what I'd like to talk about now, do we have any time left? Well, we'll begin talking about now, and I guess the beginning of the next time is the Zman Hazeh applications of Veses Haguf. So I've never heard of a sneezing spell, but there are a number of Vestos Haguf that do sometimes happen nowadays, and what their status is. So the first interesting question is, how far does the Re'ia have to be from the Veses to be considered a bona fide Veses Haguf? Let's give an example. Let's say there's a woman who always stains 2 days before her period. She stains, and 2 days later her period will come. Right? So staining definitely could be a bona fide Veses Haguf. Right? Assuming that she doesn't stain any other time, like we said before, it has to be unique. So if she stains and sometimes menstruates, and she stains and other times she doesn't menstruate, then it wouldn't be a Veses Haguf. But staining is a common Veses Haguf. And we'll talk about, I guess probably next time, Machlokas between Rabbi Willig and Rav Moshe, how exactly to look at it. But let's take her case. Right, Rav Moshe, again, we'll talk about this next time. Moshe says, if she stains right before her period, like she stains for a half a day and then she gets her period, Moshe says, well, you see, the staining is really the beginning of the actual Veses, the beginning of the Re'iyah. And let's say for a purpose of Kfiyas Veses, you go by the staining. And Rabbi Willig, as he puts it, you follow the flow. I think we mentioned this before. So her Veses is going to be when she actually starts flowing. But let's say, it happens 2 days before. She stains, and then 2 days later she gets her period. So, no, even Rav Moshe says over there, I'm not going to tell you that it's a beginning of the Re'iyah, because it doesn't happen for 2 days later, and there's a gap. But that could certainly be a Veses Haguf, right? But the question is there such a thing as a Veses Haguf whereby the symptom comes 2 days before the Riyah? Or no? Maybe it's only if it comes in close proximity. So this is a big machlokas achronim. The Mishnah Achrona writes that it has to come yad, or again, maybe an hour or two later. But otherwise, it's not what the Gemara is referring to when we talk about Veses HaGuf. So if it doesn't come right away, then it's not a Veses HaGuf. Okay? You know, obviously, Chacham Einav Birosho, and if every time, you know, you get your period 2 days after you stain, might not be, you know, wise to have Tashmish then, but it's not going to be a formal Veses HaGuf. And among other things, you can't take the kulas of a Veses HaGuf. The Pashup Shad is, and we'll talk about this next time also, but the Pashup Shad is that a Veses HaGuf that's a Kavua is like other Vestos. You don't have to observe any other Vestos. So, right? So, the Mishnah Chronah says, this is not really a true Veses, even though it seems to happen every time, and there, because it's too late. The Suga Bashoshanim is a little more expansive. He writes, if it happens in the same Ona, then it's shaykh to be considered a Veses HaGuf, but if it happens a couple days later, no. However, the Shevet HaLevi and Rav Moshe both assume that it could be even after a couple of days. So you could have a Veses HaGuf a couple days. Next time we'll talk about a Veses HaGuf that's 12 days later. Ovulation. Right? Let's say you have a woman who tracks her ovulation. A lot of women do that. Maybe it's a Veses HaGuf, right? Every single time she menstruates 12 days after she ovulates, like clockwork. So, in other words, there's no reason why Rav Moshe Shevet HaLevi says it has to be in close proximity. Okay? You know, maybe the examples of the Gemara of sneezing were in close proximity. But fundamentally, now, obviously, you're not going to be Asura for all those 12 days, right? We're not going to say, oh, let's imagine, we'll talk about this next time, ovulation is a Veses HaGuf, and it becomes a Veses Kavuas here. You're going to be Asura from the time you ovulate for 12 days till the time you menstruate? Of course not. But you'll become Asura 12 days after ovulation, and you'll be Mutaris until that point. Again, not only that, but the Pashta says you won't have to observe any other Vestos. Any other Vestos? Because if you have a Veses HaGuf, that's Kavua. We're out of time now. I'll take your question, but next time we'll see that inside. But anyone who wants to look at the tshuva inside, I recommend you do so. It's your day, Chelek Al, in Rav Moshe, Chelek Aleph, Simen Pei Dalet, worth reading. And also, you should read your day, Chelek Gimel, Simen Nun Aleph. So if you can both times, both of those tshuvas you should read for tomorrow. If you want to see the Shevet HaLevi, it's Chelek Gimel, Simen Kuf Yud Zayin. But I would definitely try to look at that tshuva for next time, and that's what we'll talk about next time. At least we'll begin with. We'll go on, but we'll begin with the discussions of common Vestos HaGuf nowadays. I'll ask you another question. You can think about it for next time. Food for thought. What about a woman who says, "I have a certain feeling," and then I get a period 3 hours later? I always have that. I don't have that feeling any other time. Can't define it. It's not itush, it's not piuk, it's not spotting, right? But it's a feeling. What would you say? She has it. So it's not a hargasha, because it's not 3 hours later. It's not a hargasha. It's not psichas piyam. It's a feeling. People have this feeling. Right? What about headaches? Is that a Veses Kavua? Veses HaGuf? So that headaches are obviously not, because you got headaches other times. But if you have a certain menstrual headache that's unique, then possibly that could be a Veses HaGuf. What about moodiness? Very hard to imagine. That happens other times also. But it has to be unique. But a feeling could be unique if it is unique, right? So anyway, these are some interesting things to think about for the more modern day applications of Veses HaGuf. All right, we'll stop here.
Sorry.
Yeah, what do you want to ask? Come in.
You spoke about the kavitz on Yom HaShabbos and then the next day. You said that it's
no, but then her Veses Kavua is Sunday. In other words, it's not the pshat that she has a Veses. It's not
later after only before.
It's not Mukhrach. Because the pshat over there, and you could say that, but it's not Mukhrach. Because you could say the pshat over there is very different. She has a Vesas Kavua Morkav of every third Sunday with sneezing.
Okay.
Oh, sometimes her symptom comes early.
Okay.
But it's still, it's not the shot that we're saying. We're saying something else. We're saying she's Vesas Haguf, she has the symptom.
Always
and
proceeds.
At, right. And a day later. In other words, the Gemara doesn't say she sneezes and the next day she sees dam three times in a row.
Right.
That's not anywhere in the block. Mm-hmm. Now, as I said, the Achronim, like with Moshe, and Shabbat, you say, Mishnah.
Right.
But we can't. But the Mishnah Achrona will say that...
Once you already have established...
Exactly.
Wait, thank you.
Thank you.
Should we keep coming to Shabbat?